Whatever I happen to be doing at the moment is the most important thing in my life. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. Whatever I happen to be doing at the moment is the most important thing in my life. Have you ever noticed when you're cleaning your fingernails, it's the most important thing in your life? You pay full attention to it. You give your attention to every little inch, every little portion of your fingernails, and you go over them very carefully. Very seldom do you do the cuticles, but you do the fingernails. And sometimes you say, well, I'll file them later and just so that they're clean. That's the main thing, you know. Well, whatever I happen to be doing at the moment is the most important thing in my life. And this is something that we have not all come to grips with. Have you come to grips with the idea that whatever you're doing at the moment is the most important thing in your life? Each one of us has lots of things that we have to do, lots of things that we do, and we give a good attention to it. But what we don't give good attention to is perhaps the most important thing of all. Do you give attention to your thought while you're meditating? Or do you just let thoughts come wandering in and wandering out as they please and think, oh, that's interesting, you know, and I guess I'm supposed to think that for a reason, for some reason that has come into my attention, for some reason. And so then you give it a little attention. You're thinking, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. And then you're thinking, my son is whole and perfect. My daughter is whole and perfect. My husband is whole and perfect. My uncle and aunts and mothers and fathers and children and everything else are whole and perfect. And next thing you know, you're a mile away from I am whole and perfect. Now you see, unless we are whole and perfect, we can be of no value to anybody else. In fact, we are very rotten indeed. We are rotten of the rottenest. Because what we see is what we are, and if we haven't got our own house in order, how are we going to see anybody else's house in order? Instead of looking at our children, so to speak, as divinely guided, divinely directed, and divinely inspired, we look at them as we look at ourselves. Confused, 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 confused. And we are confused when we are not one-pointed on whatever we're doing. Now, it would be better not to meditate, not to introspect, not to pray, not to do anything, if we are not one-pointed. Statement is, if you have aught against your brother, when you go to the altar, first make amends with your brother, and then go to God. So, first you say, my family is whole and perfect. My world is whole and perfect. Everything is whole and perfect. Okay, that's done. Now, I don't have to think about that. Now, I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. You've got the other out of the way. You've got the image set up for them. So now you say, I am whole and perfect. So when you look at your family or your friends or your world, they too are whole and perfect because you have established that. You've established what you see. Now you say, well, Herb, that's not always what you say. You say, I am whole and perfect, and we should not say anything about anybody else, but we should just see them as whole and perfect, just like we are. Well, that's fine and dandy. That's fine and dandy. Except, if you don't do that, then you got to do something about it. You have to do something about it. Now, what do you do about it when you have a nagging toenail? And you know that you broke your toenail, and it's hanging out there. It's not bothering anything. You didn't put socks or shoes on or anything. But you know it's there. And you know it's broken. And you know that a little clipper would snip it off, and it'd all be in order again. And you know that. But you don't have a snipper. And so you put your foot up to your mouth, trying to bite the toenail off. And, of course, you're not built for that. You can't quite get your toe close enough to your mouth. So then you think, well, now, if I pull it off, well, you know, if you ever pull off a half-broken toenail, it takes a lot of the flesh along with it and bleeds and does other things that you don't really want to happen. So you stop and say, where is a scissors or a clipper so I can clip my toenail off? You go and take care of that. When you clip off that recalcitrant toenail, that unruly toenail, then you don't think about it anymore. It's done. You see, when you have surrounded your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, your children, your world, everything with your pure white light of love, when you have said you are whole and perfect right now in every area of your life, then that's done. That toenail is taken care of. That family situation is taken care of. Whatever it is, it may not be anything, but if you don't take care of it, it may come up during your time. Then you quietly go within yourself and you say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. You can say it 100 billion zillion times a day until you're sick and tired of saying it, and you say, what's the benefit of saying it? I'm still not whole and perfect. Well, you keep saying it. You keep saying it. And pretty soon, the year will come when you will be whole and perfect because you were consistent in saying it. Now, you say, the year will come? My God in heaven above, what is all going on here? A year? A year? Yeah, maybe 10 years. Maybe your whole life. You see, sometimes we have these things so deeply ingrained within us, we have empowered them for so many years of our life, that getting them out is just a little bit of a rascal of a business. Now, if you say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, you would think that something should happen. Yes, well, something should happen. But if you are living a confused life, and for every whole and perfect, you think of something that's not whole and perfect, you are destroying the very work that you've done. And so, the statement, if you have aught against your brother, before you come to the temple and say, I'm whole and perfect, take care of that with your brother. Take care of that with your family. Take care of that with your life. I learned that early on. My brother gave us a hard time for a while, and I thought, oh my, why does he do that? He's not a bad person, but he's just giving us a hard time. And so I decided, hey, I am your creator. You're whole and perfect. You're fantastic. You're glorious. I like you. I love you. You're my brother. I will not hold anything against you. I will not. That's what I said. That's what I said. Years and years and years ago. And since that time, when I do my I'm whole and perfect, it happens. Just like that. You see, I cleaned up my house. Now, have you cleaned up your house? Have you gotten sort of upset with yourself for having any unhappy thoughts in your mind about your family, about your relationship, about your friends, about your world? And if you do, clean them up. Now you say, well, Herb, you'd say we should not talk about something like that. We should not empower the problem. We should not empower that circumstance which is negative and unlikely to be beneficial to us. We should not empower it. I said, that's right. That's right. That's right. But if you knowingly have some silly thing that you hold against anybody, anything, some silly thing, some silly pout, you don't love me. This morning, I was making my breakfast. I was making my egg and warming up my rice, and I had everything under control. And then Ellen comes walking up to the stove, and she says, I'm going to have an egg too. I'm going to do this. And she pushes me aside and reaches down under the stove to get the pots out, and does this and does that. And I said, oh, my goodness, I certainly created an interesting situation here. So I went to the table, not to be in her way, because I never like to offend anybody. And I sat down, oh, I didn't mean to chase you. I didn't mean to have a... You did too. You wanted to get over there to the stove to do what you wanted to do, and you didn't really give a hoot and holler in hell of what anything else was going on there, because I'm number one. Isn't that what we said here? Whatever I happen to be doing at the moment is the most important thing in my life. So the most important thing in Ellen's life was to make that. And so I acted like I was affronted. I acted like I was hurt, and I didn't think a thing about it. You know, that's the way I acted. You know, I do those things. And then everybody was saying, "Oh dear, now what have we done to offend her? You know, what have we done to make him so unhappy? Is he going to carry that pout around all day long? Is he going to carry that schnit around all day long? Is he going to be sorry for himself and make it bad for all the rest of us and stuff like that?" Well, yes and no. Yes, until you get the message. No, because it's not real. You understand? You understand?
Yes.
Yes. These are lessons that we have to come upon for ourselves. We have to realize that whatever I happen to be doing at the moment is the most important thing in my life, that it should be something that takes into consideration what's going on in the world. Edith Mary, one of our dear friends, was getting ready to go to a special outing honoring her for her weight loss and listing her as the queen of the group for having done so beautifully. And so she was getting in the car of a friend who was going to drive her there, and she's getting in the back seat. She had one foot in the car, and the lady thought she'd already entered the car, and she started up. She didn't look to see whether the door was closed and she was in. So here's Edith Mary, one foot in and one foot out, and the car goes forward, and shroom, she ends up on her backside. She ends up with all sorts of interesting problems. For a couple of years, she suffered from that misfortune. Now, at first, it was not very pleasant. But then as she thought about it, she thought, I wonder what I did to bring this about. Now, whatever she came to in her consciousness is her business, but the thing is, she thought about it. And the minute she thought about it, then she not only forgave the lady for driving carelessly, she not only forgave the Weight Watchers or whatever group it was that gave her this honor for being queen for losing weight and having her come that night, because then that was a night to remember. It's like a night when the war begins or something. And so she took hold of herself, and she brought herself back into shape and did a beautiful job. And she's still popping along at 80 years old, doing just great. Now, what is it? What is it? Whatever she was doing at the moment was the most important thing in her life, but she didn't do it well. She was supposed to be getting in the car and saying, "Hey, Millie, hold it now. I'm climbing in the back seat here. And Millie..." And get Millie's attention so Millie would look around at her as she's getting in the car. Because if you always have the person looking at you who is driving when you're getting in or out of the car, then they will not go ahead or do something until you're all set. But this takes a little preparation on our part. So it takes preparation on our part when we are treating for ourselves. I am independently wealthy. And then you got all the bills lying on the desk. Now, does that make you feel independently wealthy? Hardly. It makes you feel independently poor. And that's not a happy situation. So what do you want to do? Well, get those bills all taken care of. Well, I don't have any money. Get those bills all taken care of. Stop making new bills. If you have any bills any month that go beyond your ability to pay, stop making new bills. But the gas and electric and telephone and the rent and the other things, they go on. Yes, they do go on. But stop making other bills. Start consolidating yourself. Start living within your budget. If you don't make enough money to take care of your responsibilities, then have fewer responsibilities. You say, "Well, that's not easy to do. I got a family and I got this." Hey, that's your problem. You created those kids, you created that wife, you created that family, you created that house. Yeah, but you see, when the stock market crashed, here I had this big house and I had all these responsibilities and then my job didn't pay as much as it used to. Well, that's the time to cut back. Cut back! Who wants to cut back? Well, nobody wants to cut back. But when we live harmoniously with our budget, with what our income is, more money comes to us. More money comes to us in wonderful, beautiful ways. Our independent wealth is revealed to us. But if we aren't going to live harmoniously with what income we have, then we are not going to do it. But we don't know what income we have. We don't know because it varies and it has never been stated. We have never figured out what income we have. And I think every wage earner knows the income they have, don't they? They have a very good idea. And so they live within that budget. And when you live within that, hey, that doesn't sound like being independently wealthy. Yes, it does. If you have a debt consciousness, you will not have a wealth consciousness. Is that clear? If you have a debt consciousness, you will not have a wealth consciousness. So get rid of those debts. Take care of that responsibility. Don't just say, hey, I'm in debt $100,000 with my credit card. Can you help me? We had one fellow write in and ask for that. And I said, I didn't say anything. Ellen wrote the letter and said, no, we pray for you, and we will see that you are abundant and that all of your needs are met. And what is the situation about that? You see, if you just go right on making debt, making debt, making debt, then how do you ever expect to live in an abundance consciousness? Because in the abundance consciousness, you're going to carry over that debt consciousness with you, and you will never enjoy an abundance consciousness. And that's a very important thing to do. That's a very important thing to do. For years here on campus, we lived in an abundance consciousness of a great deal of abundance. And then the market took away our privilege of that continued attitude, and we had to pull in our horns a little bit. And we did a little bit, but not sufficiently to really make too much of a difference. But the abundance is growing. Now, we need to look at whatever our income is or what our expected income is by the past several months or year, and then use that as a guide for what we can do each month and what we can do as a total. And when we do that, then our debt consciousness is taken care of. And our abundance consciousness can be revealed. So remember, whatever I happen to be doing at the moment is the most important thing in my life. Whatever you happen to be doing at the moment needs your 100% attention. And it cannot have your 100% attention unless you give it to it. And you won't give it to it if you allow yourself to have a debt consciousness when you're working on a prosperity consciousness. You won't allow it to happen if you have a sickness attitude and you're working on a health attitude. You see, get your own house in order. Get your own house in order. Live within your means. Live within your program and then advance from there. You say, well, Herb, that doesn't sound like independently wealthy. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I just told you. You cannot have a wealth consciousness if you have a debt consciousness. So get rid of that debt consciousness. You cannot have a health consciousness as long as you have a sickness consciousness. If you have one tiny little ache in your body and you do not immediately say, I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect, and that ache will go away immediately. But every single little illustration that comes into your life of imperfection in your bodily health, and you don't say, I'm whole and perfect, you're not in that consciousness of wholeness and perfection. You're in the consciousness of the pain. And, oh, my back, my toe, my goodness, you know. And you say these things, and your body says, hey, he likes that music. You know, I'll give him some more wacky wax, you know. And sure enough, more comes. Whatever I happen to be doing at the moment is the most important thing in my life. Work on that. Let that be a very important directive in your life. Look at yourself and say, I am whole and perfect. I like me, I like me, I like me. Everything I do is beautiful and wonderful and good. Get rid of that debt consciousness. Get rid of that sickness consciousness. Get rid of that unhappiness consciousness because you have no friends. I know a number of people, wonderful people, just wonderful people. They can't keep a job. And they're very talented. They cannot keep a job. They're kicked out of a job because they're too talented. you know? And this is happening a lot now since the crash, where a lot of high quality people are losing their jobs, you know, and they have to take a lesser job. I can't afford to take a lesser job. You can't afford not to. You can't afford to move at whatever level is available to you. Have a job to have some income coming in, and then as the new opportunities come along, go for it. But nobody wants to hire me for just 2 days. Hey, if an opportunity comes along in 2 days, go for it. But if your consciousness isn't open for that opportunity, you won't have it. Just open your heart to who you are. And like we said here, whatever I happen to be doing at the moment is the most important thing in my life. I am speaking abundance, most important thing in my life. I am speaking harmony and health and happiness, most important thing in my life. But you are a car, and you're going down the road of life, and a tree fell across the road. Now you can bemoan the tree, you can bemoan yourself, you can demean the tree, you can say the tree is terrible, or you can drive around the tree, or you could take your car, tie it to the tree, pull the tree away from the road so you can drive through. There's many things you could do. Or other cars are there surely too, and each one can help to push and pull and move that tree off the road. Maybe somebody's even got a saw, and they can saw it off. Now you don't need a four-lane highway. You just need a big enough route so that you can get through. And you can get through. Just make sure that it's out of the way for you to pass through and then forget it. Oh boy, this morning I sure had a time. I was driving along and then there was that big tree across the path, and you're reliving it again. You're reliving it again. You're telling everybody how wonderful you were to cut that tree off and drive through. How wonderful you were. Forget it. You will have another tree. You will have another obstacle in your path. Bigger this time. Demanding more of your attention. If you can leave that obstacle behind and move forward, knowing that you have all the ability to do anything you want to do, then the gift is yours. Yes, yes, yes. Whatever I happen to be doing at the moment is the most important thing in my life, and then release it. Release it and go on to the next most important thing in the world. Have a wonderful morning, wonderful day, and take this thought for the day and just make it yours. I love you, I love you, I love you.